97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Wiggins America.
I am not a number. I am a free man.
Wiggins America.
The only thing I'm going to need from you guys right now is a cup of coffee.
Wiggins.
Today's global economy waits for no man.
America.
Today's global business climate is like,
whatever, dude.
Hey. Politics is a dirty game. I'm not sure we want to play.
There are forces here at work that you couldn't possibly understand.
You have no idea how high up this goes.
Welcome to Wiggins America.
These protests are fed by dark sources with a desire for our destruction. One of the main players in organizing and funding the Los Angeles protests is a group called CHIRLA, C-H-I-R-L-A, acronym, Coalition for Humane Immigration Rights. They have received millions in government grants and state grants, but now reports are showing that there may be a foreign link, specifically from China, funding and organizing these protests. The pro-Chinese far-left Party for Socialism and Liberation. They're known as the PSL. They are working with CHIRLA, helping fund the protests in Los Angeles and maybe elsewhere. Remember, all the parties in China are controlled by the CCP. So this is China. And the party is pushing to destroy capitalism and the West.
That is Chris Cuomo, formerly of CNN, now with Newsmax, or News Nation, talking about how the CCP is really funding a lot of the chaos that's going on in the United States. And of course, that is to their best interests. The only thing he misses there is that there's a lot of American tax dollars also funding these things. Tax dollars, not American private interests. This is money that has been coerced from you to fund riots that we then have to also pay our taxes to stop riots. Hey, this is Wiggins America. Let me tell you a quick point on Chris Cuomo before we get into the substance here. This guy, part of me wants to go, man, you've really come around. You're it's like he saw the light and he says things now that are very much more old school Democrat, like blue dog Democrat. He's not a Republican, but he's not crazy. And he says things like he sees them, and a lot of times you go, yeah, that's kind of what we're all seeing, right, Chris? But at the same time, you go, well, did he really see the light? Did he really have this transformation? Or did he just switch networks? Because he didn't just start thinking this way because, oh my gosh, it's now 2022 or whatever. He lost his job at CNN and then had to move to News Nation, and now News Nation is supposed to be kind of more middle. So he was pandering on CNN. I hate that. The fact is, though, that he actually would have been maybe the biggest anchor on CNN right now if he had chosen to say this kind of stuff when he was on CNN, because the ownership changed right after he left, or maybe right when he was being kicked off the air for reasons unrelated to the news, of course. I think it was like personal stuff, different stuff. And then he had to kind of reinvent himself to get onto News Nation. Well, you were already thinking that stuff. So if you had come out on CNN and said it with new ownership, and they had been like, oh, this guy is a little bit more moderate, a little more centrist, he would have been promoted, because CNN has tried to do that, but very, very slowly under new ownership. Anyway, again, this is Wiggins America, and let's talk about the substance of these things. I've said on the Annie Fry Show this week that there are basically three groups of protesters, if you want to call them that, in the United States. There is the right-wing protesters, which very, very rarely get violent or even ugly at all. January 6th being the outlier there, because there were outside influences. There was the FBI just, you know, encouraging violence there that we know now. So would that have happened? We don't know. Without their influence, we have no idea. We can't change history, but that was a fact. But for the most part, you got Tea Party patriots. You know, it's like mostly positive. It's very conservative, very patriotic. That's become more MAGA rallies now. Even when Donald Trump was not in office, that was kind of the center of not even protests, but rallies. And then you have cause rallies like March for Life and, you know, individual things that happen. They're always very peaceful. They're usually pretty positive, actually. And they're few and far between. These things don't happen a lot. They do happen, but they don't happen nearly as often as the second group, which is leftist protesters or Democrat-aligned protesters, which are also actually peaceful. They're usually a little more angry. Like, their cause to get together is that they're mad. But they get together more often. They get together in smaller groups, and they get together kind of all over the place. And it's really when Republicans are in office more than not. And then you have but they are peaceful, okay? The third group is this Antifa, this communist group that's actually fairly small. But they're funded very well by people like Chris Cuomo was talking about, that come from the CCP. Well, they funnel that money through American-aligned interests, and American-aligned interests being groups that are just here. Their whole point is to topple America. I mean, these are radical, you want to call them insurrectionists, whatever, from within the country, who are trying to overthrow the U.S. government. They just know that they can't take a tank to D.C. or take rifles and overthrow it. They're doing it this way because they're trying to create instability and as much chaos as possible. They'll actually do this during Democrat administrations too, but they know that they won't get as much support because they're left aligned. You know, they're definitely not right aligned. And this isn't the leftist protesters doing it, but the leftist world is kind of, they turn a blind eye to it, or they come up with excuses for it more when it's a Republican president. And that's what we're seeing right now. They almost can't lose, because if they go out there and they start torching stuff and they're burning things down and they're yelling about any cause, I mean, it really can be anything. They don't care that it's illegal immigration right now. It could be Palestine. It could be abortion. I mean, it could be anything. It could be Ukraine. Make it up. As long as you can get people mad enough about it, they're there to sow discord and destroy things. And if they destroy things and they turn cities into hellscapes, and it's always deep blue areas that they do it, because the right-leaning areas won't allow it. I mean, they just crack down on it too quickly. It's left-aligned, right? They will torch things. They'll basically make these awful areas. They just destroy stuff. And that's part of the goal, is like, hey, look, it's chaos. So they've created chaos. But then also, if they've attracted law enforcement, so if nobody shows up, great. But if they attract enough law enforcement, and law enforcement, treats them poorly, and you can say whatever definition you want for poorly, like if they knock somebody down, or a horse rides over somebody, or a car does, an ice car drives over somebody or something, you know, that's all part of the process. They don't actually care, or they get arrested. You know, as long as it's not like they're getting killed, they're all for it. They're fine with getting hurt. They're fine with getting arrested. It's all part of the process, because it's all about optics, and it makes the law enforcement look like bad guys. And here's where, unfortunately, the leftists step in. Not the destructions, not the commies, the Antifas. The leftist politicians step in, and they make excuses for it, and they go, look at how awful these National Guardsmen are. We did not need this. Look at how awful Donald Trump is. So that they use Antifa, even though Antifa is really using them. It's like a circular thing there. And then there's all these extra people that everybody kind of plans on, which are the looters, the useful idiots who show up at an Adidas and just break in and steal stuff. And, you know, these people aren't necessarily paid, because a lot of these people are paid. But a lot of them are not. Those are the useful idiots who just kind of are like, oh, crazy things are happening, I'm going to go steal an iPhone. You know, that's all part of it, too. So the only way, there's only one way in which that fails. And I got great news for you. It's failing. It's when public sentiment, the larger public sentiment, looks at those people, the rioters. And a lot of people can't really identify the difference between a leftist peaceful protester and a leftist rioter. And that's because they blur the lines intentionally. I mean, both groups do, unfortunately. But it's when public sentiment looks at them and says, no, I'm not okay with this. And that's happening. And you know how I know? Because every time these things happen, every time you have something that involves illegal immigration or especially crime that kind of blows up, Donald Trump's numbers go up. Now, you can cite individual polls like Quinnipiac if you want to, if you want to cite bad polls. And at this point, those polls don't even mean anything. But the good polls, the real ones that show where the sentiment of the nation is, the ones that have been accurate. I mean, that's just the way you look at it. The ones that have been accurate for years. They show that his poll numbers rise, and they rise significantly whenever these things happen. Because people want law and order. People crave this stuff. And they need it. We need law and order to survive. We got to start cutting off the money. DOJ's got to get involved. They are, apparently. It'll take a little time. They're looking at who's funding these things. But these are all good things for America, because this is the breaking point we're at. But if we're going to break the right direction, all the signs are that we will. Hey, this is Wiggins America. Stick around. We got a lot going on in this show because there's a lot going on in the world. All right, stick around.
Diapers, babies, because Wiggy Wigs riding dirty. Wiggins America.
And now, an excerpt from The Grocery List, a book by Ryan Wiggins.
Whenever somebody says they're afraid of claw grab games, you have to walk up and clutch them by their big stupid head and try to shake some sense into them.
The Grocery List, Food for Thought, by Ryan Wiggins. You're listening to 97.1 FM Talk.
Gosh, there's so much right here that I would like to insert, because there's huge headlines that hit really at the end of the week that I'd like to discuss. I mean, Israel bombing Iran, of course, is a big, big one. There's the Senator Padilla story of getting kicked out of the Kristi Noem hearing that is absolute outrage from every Democrat right now, and it'll probably not even be a story by Tuesday. That one makes me laugh for some reason, and it is emblematic of nothing, but they're trying to make it like this is the end of free speech. He just starts yelling in a meeting, and he gets kicked out of it. They're like, what? He's a U.S. senator. It's like, yeah, he's a U.S. senator. Why was he doing that? Anyway, and then there's also the Pritzker stuff, and Kathy Hochul and Tim Walz were all in a hearing this week that got completely overshadowed, that I really wish there were some good sound bites. I'm not going to play them here because we don't have enough time, but there were some good sound bites. I really wish that somebody, regardless of whether they're from Illinois or not, would have asked him about all of the NGO money that he gets. Like, use that opportunity to dig. But they didn't. Not that I saw, anyway. But I say all that because, really, the point of this little segment here is just to recommend a movie to you. Bump music was Led Zeppelin. Because Led Zeppelin has a movie. I didn't even know it existed. It's called Becoming Led Zeppelin. It's, like, brand new. Came out within the last year. And it was in theaters and stuff. Didn't know it existed until now. It's on Netflix, and now you can watch it for yourself if you're a Led Zeppelin fan. I'm a fan. I'm not like a super fan, but I really like Led Zeppelin a lot. But anyway, it's a really good movie, Becoming Led Zeppelin. And then stick around because talked to Jim Carafano earlier in this week about international affairs, and I want to replay that because he's really, really smart. And this was before Israel bombed Iran. And just listen to what he's saying about what's going on internationally. And it kind of sets up a lot of the way the world is reacting to everything right now. That's coming up next. But remember, Becoming Led Zeppelin. Jim, hello. Thanks for joining the show.
Yeah, sorry, I'm a little late there. I was with somebody really important.
Was it Annie Fry?
Not that anybody's more important than you guys, but...
Okay, well, as long as it was somebody super important, like Annie or the president or somebody like that.
Yeah, exactly. It was somewhere between Annie Fry and the president of the United States.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good, because that could really mean anybody. Jim, let's talk about some of the things we were talking about in the last segment with the DEI and Secretary Hegseth removing DEI. You know, I was going to start by just asking you, do you think that this is so deeply entwined in our military that he's having a tough time getting it out? Or was this a pretty clean cut?
I think people are probably thrilled with this. And I'll tell you, this is not an opinion thing, right? The market votes, right? And the fact that the services, particularly the Army, are hitting their recruiting goals months ahead of schedule, that is just factual proof that everybody is ready to put this stuff in the dustbin of history. That has nothing to do with military service. And, as a guy that was in the military for 25 years, and, even before, supposedly you could have gays in the military because we've only had gays in the military since, like, the American Revolution, but and nobody cared. But it's like people are there to serve, and that's it. And anything that gets in the way of that is like, why am I here? There are other places I could go and get paid a lot of money to be shot at and rained on and, not be with my family for 365 days a year. I don't need to do this except for the fact I'm here to serve my country. So anything that strips away all the extraneous stuff other than serving the country, people in the military, that to them is an affirmation that they have decided to make service to nation a choice that means something.
It just seems so obvious, too, that this is the goal. When you strip some of this stuff back, you realize I think we've been brainwashed by some of this nonsense that we've all been told for so long is the most important thing. And when somebody comes in, like Hegseth and many other agencies, right, and comes in and just says, no, here's the point, and it's like you wake up and everybody goes, oh, yeah, that's real.
Right. I mean, it's like we get the joke. Everybody is used to a new administration comes in, you change the bumper stickers, you can't call it, we get all that, right? But to basically be told that the purpose of the military is not the purpose of the military, it's climate change and diversity is our strength and making sure that that doesn't matter if the military's can actually fight, but as long as they have low carbon emissions, that's all that matters. That is not just the political shift from one administration to the next. That is basically people taking instruments of government and subverting them for the political purposes. And I got to tell you, nobody in the military signs up for that. Because if we wanted to do that, we could have joined Black Lives Matter or MoveOn.org or something. We only join the military for one reason, and that's to serve the rest of the nation and protect them.
Jim, there's so many individual topics that we could kind of hone in on, which we tend to do with you, and I appreciate that. But I like taking a step back with you a little bit, too, here. And I want to ask you this. You travel a lot. You're all over the world all the time and meeting with very important people, like you were just a few minutes ago, apparently. How do you view – I should better ask, how does the world view America now under Trump versus when we had Biden? Is it very, very different?
I'm going to be honest. Most of the world thinks that Trump is evil and America is devolving into civil war and we're crazy. And the reason for that is they consume the same leftist media that we do. Mm. You can go to countries in Europe which are 99% conservative, and if there was a leader there who was everything with Donald Trump, he would get elected, and they hate Donald Trump, and they would have voted for Kamala Harris. Because they're consuming the same nonsense media that they are. Now, contrast that, though, with the people that are paying attention to real policies in countries, whether they're our friends or an enemy, and they take Donald Trump deadly seriously, and they realize that America is not a country anymore. It's very, very weird, right? You can go to the most conservative place in Europe, and they would have voted for Kamala Harris. But on the other hand, if you said, well, here's what America, here's what's actually doing, they would say, well, that's great. We would do that if we could do that.
It sounds like what you're saying is it's not love, but it is respect.
Well, if the people that run countries, depending on who they are, they either fear or respect the United States. Most people who are like you and me, we just want to go to Walmart and buy groceries. We're not paying attention to all this foreign policy and national security stuff. And if we pay attention at all, we just see what we see on TV and we say, oh, geez, look at that. And so you know, they turn on the TV and it says riots in Los Angeles. And it's all Donald Trump's fault. And they think, oh, riots in Los Angeles. And it's all Donald Trump's fault. You know, but we shouldn't be surprised at this. You know, people forget when Ronald, you know, we revere Ronald Reagan now, but when he was president of the United States, most Europeans thought he was going to get us all killed. And he was a crazy movie actor. Because that's what the American press told him. So that's what they believed.
Jim Carafano from Heritage on with us right now. I have a friend who has very, very deep roots in Ireland. And Ireland.
You have a friend?
I do. I have one friend. It's not Brad.
Wow.
He's just a colleague. But my one friend has very, very deep roots in Ireland. And that's the whole story. I just wanted to let you know that because I'm kind of cool. Like, I hang out with people. No.
Yeah, no, totally. I mean, Ireland's a good example, right? So if you go to Ireland, which is like become one of the most ridiculous woke countries on the planet, you know, they think Donald Trump is wacky crazy. But then when you say, well, what do you think of, you know, high energy prices that are, you know, making, you know, electricity unaffordable? Well, we don't like that. Well, what do you think about these crazy social policies that are basically destroying your country? Well, we're not real crazy about that. Well, what do you think about unlimited immigration that allows just anybody to walk in your country and get welfare? Well, you know, we're not too thrilled about that. Hey, so what do you think about your economy? You know, well, we hate all that stuff. Well, you know what? That's exactly the kind of stuff Donald Trump is fighting. And they go, oh, well, you know, I never thought of that.
You knew exactly where I was headed because that's exactly what I was going to ask you is how does a European nation respond? Because that's what he says too. My buddy who goes over there pretty often, he says he has conversations with people in Ireland, and you get outside of Dublin and it's very different, of course, you know, it's more rural.
Right.
And he said most of these villages that you talk to, they have this very like cursory understanding of what's going on in the United States.
Right.
Exactly what you just said. But if you start talking about actual policies, they're very conservative, but they don't know that they are.
Exactly. But it is changing in Europe. So, you know, 5 years ago, no European conservative leader would stand up and say, net zero is about the dumbest idea I've ever heard, and transition things to fantasy, and we're all going to starve to death if we don't get responsible energy policies. Even if they believe that, they would never stand up in public and say that. Because they would say, oh, my God, you don't believe climate change? Oh my God, I'm going to send Greta Thunberg out to your house. Now they say that in public. And two reasons. One, because it's true. But the other reason is Donald Trump put his head out of the fossil first, and they didn't shoot it off. So if Donald Trump can do this, I can do this. So the reality is that Trump has liberated so many politicians around the world who said, this guy can do these things, which we all knew were bogus, and he can say that in public. And well, I can't say not get shot because he actually did get shot, but he can say that in public and politically survive. And it go, you know, maybe if he can do it, we can do it too. So he has given courage to leaders all over the world to stand up and say, you know what, maybe governments should actually contribute to the welfare and the security and the freedom and the prosperity of the people that they govern. Maybe they should do that. And you know what? Voters might actually like that. But voters might actually like being told to live your lives and do what you want, and that government's just going to do the stuff government's supposed to do, and it's not going to dictate, you know, which bathroom you use. I mean, that's actually turned out to be a pretty much a winning combination. But if it wasn't for Donald Trump saying that on the global stage, everybody else just would have went to Davos and politely applauded when they were told which vaccine to take.
I've heard that so many times, Jim, but I know you travel and you're actually there, that so many of the issues that are left-right in the United States have been adopted by other countries in ways that I'm surprised to hear that, you know, oh, there's like transgender issues happening in Korea and stuff. You're like,
right.
Oh, that's really happening. Like, that's our export now.
Exactly. It's so And the happiest day of our lives is when the U.S. ambassador shows up and goes, you know what? I am not going to tell you that you have to have gay pride here. Yeah, and they're
no
like,
kidding.
Oh, thank you. We really appreciate that.
They listen to that? I mean, they're really hanging on our words that much that they care?
Oh, yeah. Actually, the person I was with actually was a really effective former ambassador for the first Trump administration. And I was saying, you know, like, you know, when American ambassador in a country is like God, and you know, if when God shows up and tells you you're not gay enough, you know, that, and you're just like, well, wait a second, this is our culture, this is our religion, this is our tradition. We actually believe in families We actually believe in two genders. We actually believe that, you know, being religious is not, you know, an affront to people, that men shouldn't compete in women's sport. We used to think those were good things. And yet God is coming down from heaven and telling us, no, be woke. And that's like, well, you don't argue with them because they're God. But then when that person leaves and an ambassador comes and says, no, you're actually right. You should have your own culture and traditions, and we shouldn't dictate to you how to live your lives. They're like, well, yeah, that's what we want to hear from this powerful, important person. So the world is a changing place. And like I said, this global media elite that parrots these ridiculously stupid messages, it actually does resonate around the world. You know, just like people see these movies about America and they think, oh, that's, and that's what they, because that's all they know. I mean, look at this, your perspective. I mean, you go to these other countries and you go, oh my God, people aren't the caricature of what I thought they were. And oh my God, these people actually, but that's because you're not there, right? Believe what you see. So if you see, you know, people on TV and they only speak French and you think, and they hate Americans, you think, oh, well, France is like that. But no, the world's pretty much lively place. But you can't really tell that from listening to this media, which only wants you to look at the world the way they want you to look at it. I mean, this is the fundamental difference between what we're seeing between really this ideological conflict, not everywhere in the world, but a lot of the world, between the left and the right. In the left, it's about you achieving an orthodoxy that we all accept as this is what we're told is true. Conservative is the opposite. It's not about driving an orthodoxy. It's about doing things that actually deliver outcomes and accepting the fact that we're going to disagree and, you know, sometimes argue and have different views about things. And that's normal. It's not evil to disagree about things. And it's two very, very different views of the world. You would see that more starkly if those views were equally represented in media and popular culture and those things, but they're not.
Man, Jim, it was worth the wait. I really appreciate you and your perspective. Gosh, it's so fascinating just listening to you talk about these things. And you meet with the people that would know, you know. So just because my friend goes to Ireland, that doesn't mean he's know as much as you about it, because you talk to the ambassadors of these places. Apparently, that's so awesome.
Well, I apologize for being a little late. So it's I am the world's biggest fan, because you guys really are interested in just informing people and letting them decide for themselves. And that, to me, is the essence of what, like, good public media should do. So I've always been a huge fan of what you guys do.
Well, I really appreciate that coming from you. We are not public media, though. We are not under threat of defunding. We're doing fine, but I appreciate that. Jim Carafano of Heritage.
You know why you're good media? Because
why?
You're not public funded. That's exactly right.
That's exactly right. Well, thanks for calling in, even if it was a little later than expected. I just love talking to you, so thanks. I'll end the show on a weird note here, because it's something that I have not paid attention to, and you probably haven't either. Remember the CHOP zone, or the CHAZ zone, depending on how you've referred to it? CHOP was in Seattle. It was the Capitol Hill organized protest they called CHOP, because it was supposed to be an autonomous zone formed in 2020, right about this time, after the George Floyd thing, after Black Lives Matter blew up. Well, the protesters took over this area of Seattle that was like around City Hall or Capitol Hill or whatever they call it there. And it was like a full couple city blocks that they said there cannot be any police. And these are like, I don't want to call them the violent protesters, but they weren't peaceful either. They were kind of this in-between, where these were ideologues. So I guess that's what they really are, is these are the violent protesters who aren't paid. They're the ones who really believe that they could form a utopia. Like, they're the useful idiots of the violent protest movement that is funded. And some of them may have been funded, too. I don't know if they were at this time. But this CHOP zone was always interesting, because it was like, let's form a nation inside of a city. And the city was just like, okay. Like, they didn't do anything because, well, it's like race related. So we can't, it's like they're handcuffed by their own stupid ideology that they go, well, if you say Black Lives Matter, then we really can't do anything to you. Like, you're above the law, and just form your own nation inside of Seattle. So you remember all this happening. Well, I looked up what happened since then. And it kind of walked through the history of how this happened. It goes through the protests. Oh, it was six blocks. Sorry, I said couple blocks. It was six blocks. Lasted from approximately June 8th through July 1 of 2020. So about a month that this thing was going on. Man, what a wild time in American history. And it was at first supposed to be, this is the peaceful zone. You cannot come in here with your violent rhetoric. It was like hippie Black Lives Matter something. And then all of a sudden it turned violent, like, because they had no real central structure, you'd have just people wandering in doing anything they want. So you couldn't limit it because it was supposed to be about freedom of expression and stuff. So then people would wander in and do terrible things, and they couldn't enforce anything against them. So there were four shootings occurred in 10 days. A 16-year-old, 19-year-old were dead, several others wounded, and the police were just kind of hamstrung because the city wouldn't do anything about it. Finally, they had to kind of go in and bust this thing up. But a month, I mean, a month goes by where these people were declaring we're a separate nation from Seattle. And they just kind of let it happen because of weak leadership. So where is it now? Well, since then, after this thing was dismantled, the area hasn't really recovered, as you'd expect. I mean, you let lawlessness reign. Who's going to go in there and say, I want to invest here? I mean, I'm an investor. I'm not a big-time investor, but I'm not going to go into an area like that. I mean, I'm not going to even go into areas in downtown St. Louis and do that, and they weren't chop zones. They're just crappy. And I don't trust that I'll be protected as a business owner from weird riots. Like, we've seemed to have avoided some of that recently, but not all of it. And I don't necessarily know if the state takeover of the police department has changed everything, or it'll take time, you know. So I'm kind of wait and see. Maybe it will. But inside CHOP, I'm trying to fast forward here, because starting in 2022, there started to be all these lawsuits from business owners within this six block district that said, you didn't support us. And this is why lawsuits exist. I mean, this is like open and shut case. The city had to settle these lawsuits with these businesses in 2023 for $3.6 million. That's not really even that much. But multiple lawsuits were also filed over the shooting deaths inside of CHOP. That included claims filed by the family of 19-year-old and the 16-year-old. People were put in prison in 2023, finally, because it took a while. The city eventually settled a wrongful death lawsuit by that kid's father for $500,000. And there's all these laws. It's just like a mess. It's a complete mess. And the article here from King 5, I think it's like local to Washington State and Seattle, said that some decisions, quote, eroded public trust and led to poor policing outcomes. Of course, that included the decision to evacuate the East Precinct for 23 days in the CHOP zone because, oh, well, we just want to let people express themselves. Black Lives Matter, and therefore we can't do anything. The report cited a lack of accountability, leadership, and communication by former city and SPD leadership, which led to confusion within the police department and concerns in the community because nobody knew really what they could do. So the weird thing is, you know, hearkening back to the beginning of the show here, if you missed it, I kind of outlined this on the Annie Fry Show last week, too, that there are three groups of protesters, we'll call them, in America. One of them is the right-wing protesters, and this is a group that is largely peaceful. Everybody's going to cite January 6th and say they weren't, but there were obviously plants inside of that. They were inciting violence. Whether it would have been violent without them, we don't know. But aside from that, you got, you know, the right wing is like the Tea Party movement, which is a very patriotic thing. And then it's become more about MAGA rallies, even when Donald Trump wasn't in office. And it's like this party atmosphere that's definitely not violent and is mostly positive. There's a little bit of vitriol in there, but it's mostly positive and kind of party-ish and patriotic. Then you have the left-wing protesters, which are more abundant. It's weird because the right-wing protesters really are not as often. You know, there's a MAGA rally and that's it, and it's big, but then that's it. You don't really see little pockets of right-wing protesters in your community, but you do in left-wing protests. You know, we've seen them all week, all over the country, and this weekend, and many of them, I would say this group that I'm categorizing is, you know, they're mostly nonviolent. They're angry, but they're nonviolent. And then you have that third group that is basically communist anarchists. They call themselves anti-fascists, Antifa, but they're the color revolution. I mean, this is the communist takeover of America, and they're well-funded. And then you get the politicians who are kind of in the middle. And again, go back to the beginning of the show if you want to hear more about that. But I brought up this CHOP zone because it really highlights that second group. And it kind of mixes the two together between the violent and the nonviolent of the left, because the nonviolent, there's an ideology that's fundamentally different with the right and the left on these things, especially among the protesting class or the activist class in both parties. And that is that the left really believes in the goodness of human nature. Like that if you leave humans alone, they will figure out how to love each other and support each other economically and get along. And there's this like utopia that if we could just force it into existence from the top, we don't really love saying that we like that, but that's what we want. And that's why they support socialism and communism, even if they don't want to put those labels on them, that if we could force everybody to just kind of get along and love each other and share their wealth, we could create utopia on Earth. And it's derived from this ideology that mankind is inherently good. The odd thing is, the right does not believe in the inherent goodness of humanity, but is also very hands-off when it comes to economics. It's almost as if the right believes that while we are like fallen, that's a Christian term, while we are inherently evil, again, very Christian here, but it bleeds out into the rest of the ideology too. If you let things go, humans are designed to survive. And so while that may look brutal at times, the worst thing you could do is put a heavy hand on top of it, because humans are inherently going to survive. They're going to make themselves the best life that they can based on their surroundings. Like it's sort of a laissez-faire attitude that's derived from that ideology that mankind inherently may not be good, but there are instincts that you can kind of let play out that will turn out okay. And there's this clash that happens between those two constantly that's actually a pretty healthy clash, but that when it swings too far in one direction, it gets unhealthy. So the left says, yeah, but you can't just let people completely be on their own. Otherwise, they'll do evil things that have to be controlled. So it's like you can't have no government, and the left understands that. But the right says, yeah, but you can't have super, super heavy government, because then you're just talking about the same evils but centralized in power. So it's an interesting pull and push, and we've gone very, very much, the pendulum has swung to too big of a heavy-handed government in this country, which historically has not been the case, and it erodes freedoms. Anyway, that's where we're going to end the show, because we're out of time.
Get more at 971talk.com.